personal coach and trusted attorney, Andrew Leaf, who will help you get started in building your real estate empire. Grow your self-confidence, find your grit, and get the skills needed to dominate the real estate world. This is Real Estate Investing with Andrew Leaf.
Happy Sunday. This is Lauren and Andrew Leib. We're back on the Leibcast, and I have some exciting news for you, Lauren.
Tell me.
So you might be stressing, sitting around and thinking to yourself, the world is awful. There's coronavirus everywhere. I could die. A family member could die. I don't know what's going to happen. The government came up with a solution. You can now purchase your cemetery plot online. Seriously, there used to be a restriction that you couldn't get a cemetery plot online. And you might be thinking to yourself, you're sitting home, I'm going to go, you know, I Amazon shop. I am now thinking to myself, no, seriously, you can go online and you can
check. I thought you were really going somewhere really important.
No, it is important. There's a brand new law.
It's not.
No, it is.
No.
You can go now shop. You don't need to go to the cemeteries. You know, they used to say, this one's by that tree. You can have this beautiful tree.
Did Amazon take this over?
They're going to, I imagine. You know, all hey, Bezos. But the thing is, they just passed this law, and they said these laws were around for like 50 years where there was no internet and people didn't know this. But and I think you get suckered in because when you go there, they always go to you. And I've been to the cemeteries a few times. I go, you don't really want that casket. You need one with more plush interior. I always find that interesting. Like, who cares how plush the interior is?
Some people really do. You don't, but I'm going to speak for other people that do.
I got to tell you, when I'm dead, I don't think the amount of stitching in the internal, I don't care. Like maybe the outside of, I get the outside of the casket because everyone else gets to see it, but they don't need to give me a nice woven weave around me.
I feel like you're having a very political conversation right now.
I don't know if it's so political. So here's the thing. That's good. So Lauren says it's political. I have a good news for you. You no longer have to have that awkward political experience when you go to the cemetery, when they tell you that you're going to be too close to the highway with your loved one and you want to internal plot. You can do it from the comfort of your own home now, Lauren. I want you to know.
In your privacy. Yes. Nobody could judge you while you're alive.
Last week, we said people are afraid to speak about politics. We went through this whole thing about it. So I always feel like I've been, as I said, to a few, unfortunately, to some cemeteries where you have to go pick this stuff up. And I want to tell everyone, a lot of people ask us, can they put their burial directions in their will? This is a big question we get. They go, should I put my burial directions in my will? And I always say, that is the stupidest thing you can ever do. The dumbest. Absolutely. The dumbest idea you can do is put your burial directions in your will. Can you tell us why, Lauren?
Well, by the time you get the will, you've already been buried.
There's that. Like, when someone dies, Uncle Sam dies. Let's say Uncle Sammy, and we're all crying. We go, where's his will so we know how to bury him? No, there's a dead body. You got to go bury the body. So did you know that if you have specific directions, like you want to be cremated, and they bury you, and the will says you want to be cremated, they got to exhume your body. So
I feel like I've seen lawsuit cases on that in the firm, right?
We had a crazy situation. One. Like, it was really crazy. People flying in from other states and fighting about it. But back to the point, what you really want to do is instead of putting in your will is you want to pre-purchase your cemetery plot and deal with your funeral and deal with the arrangements and tell whoever is your heirs where you arrange it. Like, be like, I did it at Beth Moses Cemetery, blah, 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 blah. Go speak to Fred at the front desk, you know, like that whole thing. That's the way to do it. But when you do it now, you're going to have to give them your online receipt because you don't know Fred at the front desk anymore.
I'm sure it has like a next of kin option. I mean, if I was doing that business, I would have that when I'm getting my plot.
It's true. Okay. So Lauren, are you the person that's going to shop online for this? Are you the type of person that's going to want to go in person?
No, online. I do everything online. I'm on the online generation person.
So now that we're being political, as you said, I didn't think it was political, but apparently it is. Now that we're political, are you going to be getting the really high end? For me, I imagine, you know, when you get married, your wife's been planning your death since they met you. She's like, since I met her, she's like, if you say that again, I'm going to put you in the ground. So when you're getting my casket.
Well, if I'm going to really reveal my innermost secrets, I would say that save the money. I'd rather have my children have it for college or for a house or something like that, not for the actual casket.
You don't want to know what I wanted? I don't know if you've seen this, Lauren. There's this thing where they can put you in a pod and then they put you in ground and you become a tree. I want to become a tree. I want to become a fruit tree too, though, so everyone could eat my dead body.
No.
No, gross? A little gross?
Yeah.
So I'll tell you why I'm thinking about this a lot. My blood pressure was boiling this week. I was just like losing it. And I'll tell you what was happening.
So you were thinking about your cemetery.
I was. Like, like, you know when your heart starts palpitating? And I was just, so I've got in this environment a few different lease offers for one of our properties. And the people keep offering me great leases, like 5 years, 5 years options, the right market rent.
This is for a commercial.
For a commercial property. And the CAM, the common area maintenance, all the things I want. But then they want to create a shell company. This is what's interesting. A new entity. They want to create this new entity. And they want to not give me any guarantees. And they want to sign it with the new entity. And it just makes my blood boil.
All right. So you look at what they call LOIs, which are letters of intent. Usually the real estate broker will give it to you when a tenant, a prospective tenant, wants to make an offer on a unit. So this week, we got a letter of intent, and it looked really good.
Just to be clear, we got more than one letter of intent. Yeah. It happened multiple times, and I kept saying, what's the point of giving me a letter of intent if the tenant is creating a shell company? What is a shell company? They have no assets.
Well, I just want to go back and explain this letter of intent. It's just a negotiation instrument that's used in the beginning stage before an agreement is reached. It's just the vehicle of communication. Tenant is proposing this amount of money for the rent and for this amount of years, but the actual details aren't really in there. There's a couple. We can go over what those are. But at the end of the day, it's absolutely meaningless unless there's a signed lease.
What are they, Lauren? I like putting you on the spot.
Okay. Well, there would be who is the tenant.
Okay.
The length of the lease.
Okay.
So month to month, 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 10 year, et cetera. Sometimes there's an option to renew. As a landlord, I would want to see a competitive rate with a longer term, which means that a 1 year lease versus a 5 year lease, I would rather have a 5 year lease because then they're locked in. It's less friction costs for me to deal with renting it over again every single year. So what you're talking about before is we got this great offer two times last week. We got two different offers.
I would have taken either of them.
Competitive prices. And then when you looked at the fine details, it said that the tenant was going to be signing this in a shell company.
It actually didn't even say that. It said you only saw it the second round.
Okay.
Both of them said the tenant's name, which was like an individual, or assigns. So I asked the broker.
What does or assigns mean?
Well, it means that they can give the lease to someone else or the letter of intent. And I said, who are the assigns? And they wrote back, because I always like to ask questions. They wrote back to me. This is what they said. They're creating a new entity for their business. And I said, okay, so does the tenant plan on guaranteeing that business? Because again, if you were going to get a business that's established, like let's assume Home Depot was going to be your tenant. And Home Depot's everywhere. You say to yourself, I don't need a guarantee because Home Depot, they have all their equipment. They have all their personnel. They have their intellectual property. They're a big company. If they default, there'll be a company I can sue for the remaining term of the lease because I expect everyone to breach. But when you're creating a new entity, what is a shell company? It means that if you create a corporation or LLC and that entity owns nothing, nada, they don't even own a seat. They own nothing.
Yeah. So essentially, let's just say you do this five-year lease with this company that owns nothing, and in 2 months, there's a second wave of coronavirus, and everything is shut down. They can't operate business. They can't do anything anymore. First off, you just paid a real estate broker fee for 5 years.
Stop there. Tell me what that means.
So part of this agreement, and when you hire a real estate agent, is that they get a percentage of the lease terms. So if you're signing a five-year lease, they're getting a percentage of that total amount of money.
And just to be clear, there are places where the tenant pays traditionally residential. You see the tenant paying. But in commercial, a lot of times, they want the landlord to pay. Even some residential, they want the landlord to pay. And you're paying for the entire term, not just the next year. You're paying for whatever you agree to with your broker, but it could be 5 years. But isn't it an illusory agreement that the tenant is going to be there for 5 years? When they don't guarantee it, meaning I can't sue them. Like I could sue them, but they are shell companies, so they're judgment proof. They could vanish.
They can go to another country. Who knows where they're going to go?
So basically what's happening is that the tenant is locking me in on a rate with their unilateral option to cancel the lease anytime they want. And then they look at me like a crazy person, the brokers, when I say to them, I want a guarantee. And I'm not saying I want a guarantee from everyone again. I have tenants in commercial spaces that do not guarantee their lease. Why? They have assets. I'm not looking to ruin someone's life. I just need you to put some of your money where your mouth is. That would be like a mortgage company saying like this, I'll give you a loan and I don't need the mortgage. I just need the note. I have no security in your house. I trust you.
The honor system.
Yeah, we're going to do this on the honor system. So back to that letter intent thing. What happens is if you read the bottom of it, I just want to be clear. It always says, and if it doesn't, you better write this. If it doesn't, you better write this. And if it doesn't, you better write this.
Apparently, if it doesn't, you better write this.
You got to say that this is not a contract. There are other material terms that must be agreed upon between the parties prior to either the landlord or the tenant agreeing to a contract. Why? Because there are cases out there where this letter of intent becomes a contract if you don't have appropriate disclaimer language. And as Lauren pointed out, it only has minimal terms. It might have the security deposit. It might have who's doing a build out. It might have some months off. It might discuss common area maintenance or taxes or insurance. But it's not going to get into the minutiae of the details. A commercial lease that I write is generally over 40 pages long, Lauren. So if we're dealing with this, you can't have a one-page letter of intent rule of the day. So I have good news. Good news.
I like good news.
Tonight, I'm going to start looking up getting that ice cream with the 5% alcohol. I'm going to have some shots on the side. And then I'm going to go look for my online ability to buy a cemetery plot. Because if I get one more lease with a no guarantee clause, my blood pressure is going to boil. We'll be back after the break.
Have you ever dreamed of owning a rental property, flipping a home, opening a successful business? This is Real Estate Investing with Andrew Lee.